Grace to you and peace from God our Father on this Father's Day and from Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Happy Father's Day. Thank you. That was a lot better than when I said Happy Mother's Day and you guys didn't know what to say back to me. At any rate, today we're starting a new sermon series on the Apostles' Creed. And today I thought it appropriate that we look at the first article of the Apostles' Creed, which is, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, fitting for Father's Day. Now, Apostles' Creed is one of the oldest creeds in the church. A creed is a statement of belief and a confession. And actually, the Nicene Creed, which we also say, goes back to 325 AD. This one predates that. Nobody knows exactly, but perhaps 150, 180 AD, some say. Christians have been confessing this from the very beginning. And this is what we say each week and every other week in our services. And so I thought it appropriate that we look through this creed, see what it means, and rejoice in it today because this is Father's Day. And the great news that we have from God, our Father, is that He is our Father and He's become our Father in truth through Jesus Christ as He's adopted us as His children. And if you believe in this confession, note that it starts out with, I believe in. It's not just enough to have it, the truth out there. It's something that we confess. So, would you confess it with me right now? I'll say it first, and then you say it. Ready? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Ready? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And what I'd like to talk with you about today is what a special thing it is that you're able to say this confession and what this actually means. It means that we believe that there really is a God, that He made everything that we see in heaven and on earth. Obviously, because He can do that, He is all-powerful, and He is even our Father, a Father who wants us to take shelter under His wings. And as David says in the Psalms, the promise of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in Him. So what does it mean to me, or what does it mean to us, that you can make this confession today, which you just did? It means to me that you are a blessed people, holy and set apart from all the peoples of the earth. Because guess what? The confession that you just made seems totally simple and obvious to us, right? Could there be anything more obvious than that there is a God who made everything? That He's obviously therefore Almighty and Father of all? No duh, of course. But the world has not believed this down through the ages, this simple, straightforward truth. Look at what David says in the Psalms, Psalm 14. He says, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none that does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any that act wisely, that seek after God. They have all gone astray. They're all alike corrupt. There's none that does good. No, not one." So, down through the ages, do you know that the whole world could not make the confession you just made, that there's a God, He made the heavens and the earth, He's Almighty, and He's the Father. In fact, do you want to know what some of the other beliefs there are out there in the past about the creation of the world? Check these out. Here's an option for you. Try this one on instead of the Apostles' Creed. You ready? If you were born in Africa to the Bakuba tribe, you'd believe that there was a giant named Mabumbo, who ruled over the waters and the darkness. One day, he got a stomach ache, indigestion, and vomited out the earth, the sky, the sun, and the stars. Not a good option, as far as I'm concerned. Another one is the Russian Siberian tribes. They believe there was a great primeval lake, and two loons swimming on the top of it dove down to the bottom, pulled up some mud, and then that became the earth. Oh, wow, that's a good one around the campfire. Not, though, in truth. And then the Cherokees of North America. They believe the sky one time was like Madison Square in New York, just crowded with animals. No room up there. Wanted to come down and see what the water was like. A beetle came down, grabbed some mud, and that became the earth. Okay, wrong. How about the Hindus? If you were born in India over the history of time, they believe that this flat world rested on the back of a huge elephant who stood on the back of an immense great turtle, who then stood on a gigantic coiled snake. Boy, there's one for you. And then Buddha, if you were in the East and were following Buddha, you know what he said? He said, don't even go there, because you're going to go mad if you think about the origins of the earth. But how about Israel, though? Israel in the Bible, they were blessed by God. They had the revealed word. They had the teaching that God was the one God who made the heavens and the earth, their maker, their father. Do you think they believed? Even with that revelation in their hands, they didn't know him. As it says in Isaiah chapter 2, their land is filled with idols. They bow down to the work of their hands, to the work of their own fingers that they've made. So man is humbled and men are brought low. Forgive them not, says Isaiah. And God says in Isaiah 45, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I gird you, though you do not know me, that men may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make weal and create woe. I am the Lord who does all these things. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe to him who strives with his maker, an earthen vessel with the potter. So guess what? You just made a confession that the world has not been able to make for all of history, pretty much, though it seems so plain, just absolutely obvious to us. But you think, oh, wait a second here, Pastor. All these things, I mean, Mbombo, nobody believes that stuff anymore. That's La Bamba, right? Nobody believes Mbombo anymore, or things like that. We're so much more sophisticated than that. So, is that really true? Are we that much more sophisticated? If you go out there in the world today, you're going to meet people that say, I believe that there is a God who created the heavens and the earth, that he's the Father, that he's almighty, and I believe in his Son, Jesus. Well, you're not going to find that most places either, except amongst Christians. Because even if you may believe in God as a creator, you don't believe in Jesus. And we'll get to that in a moment. But think of some of the other idols that we've set up today. They actually make Mbombo look like a good option. For example, take the science god of evolution. This has been taught ever since Charles Darwin. And maybe some of you saw just a couple weeks ago, on May 21st, 2009, in Fox News, they had reported the new missing link. Did you remember that? Vivian showed it to me. They found a what they called a 47-million-year-old primate fossil. And the American Museum of Natural History said that this was a scientific discovery that will undoubtedly revolutionize how we understand our own evolution. In other words, we found the missing link between apes and monkeys and humans. But the problem is that most scientists who've looked at it said it's basically a monkey. That's pretty much all it is, a lemur, and they can't even verify exactly how old it was. But this is the teaching that's out there, and it's outlawed in our schools to teach Article 1 of our confession that there is a God, a maker of the heavens and the earth. You will, like it was in Dover, Pennsylvania, you'll lose your job on the school board if you want that taught in our schools in America. So the world hates this teaching, and they would rather have it that we come from apes and monkeys. And my word to you then is, don't let the evolutionists make a monkey out of you. I think it's easier to believe in Mbombo than this, as we'll see in a moment when our eyes are open to look at creation. But think about other things. How about this? If you go to Hollywood, you watch a movie, how many movies that you watch on a daily basis would have God as the maker and creator, the Almighty Father, as their basic foundation? Any of them out there even really acknowledge God? Very few. An occasional acknowledges them, but they never really acknowledge Jesus, who goes along with God. So you don't find that in Hollywood. How about news? You watch CBS, Fox News. Do they say about as a foundation that God made the heavens and the earth? Do they look at him as the Father Almighty ordering events? No. He's not anywhere to be found there. They deny the article of our confession. How about politics? Remember just a few weeks or months ago, Obama gave a speech at Georgetown University There was a cross behind him. It was what? Covered up for his speech with a piece of plywood painted black so that you couldn't see the cross. Why? Why is that so important to get out of the picture, both in Hollywood and in politics and in news and in science and our classrooms? Why do they hate this one doctrine? Even some people get into just forgetting about God. I know many people just get too busy. You know, I got to take my kid to the hockey practice, which is on Sunday mornings. I got this, I got that, and this to do. And I think of this verse from Jeremiah 2. God says, "Can a maiden forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me, days without number." Ain't that the truth? People have forgotten God, and this one simple doctrine that you've confessed here today that you believe in, most people in the world don't believe. And so how blessed you are to be able to make this confession that there indeed is a God who made the heavens and the earth and has become your Father through adoption, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Why, though, doesn't the world believe this? Why are they so lost in what to us is like, hello, isn't it obvious that somebody made this world? Look at it. Well, Romans 1 answers that question for us. Paul says, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of men who by their wickedness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them." Where? Nature. "Ever since the creation of the world, God's invisible nature, namely his eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made. So they're without excuse. For although they knew God, they didn't honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds or animals or reptiles." In other words, you can see God in nature. It's so blatantly obvious and to us, but since they didn't want God, their minds became clouded, dark, and claiming to be wise, as the evolutionists and the rest do today, God says they became fools. But why more specifically? Sin blinded them. The Bible also says the devil blinds people's eyes from seeing the light of the truth. And also, when you make this confession, it teaches to me that you're chosen. That God had to actually choose you so that you can actually say the words that you just said. Jesus one time in Matthew 11 said, "I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to babes. Yea, Father, for such was thy gracious will. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Guess what? If you can say, "I believe in God the Father, and that he's my Father through Jesus Christ," you can't do that unless you're chosen. God actually knows your name and put this faith and this truth and this confession in you. As Jesus said to Peter, he says, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." In other words, if you believe this confession of God the Father, maker of heaven and earth, that means Jesus knows your name. That means Jesus revealed the Father to you. That means the Father revealed Jesus to you. And I just got to say this. I go around all the time out there in the world meeting people who say, "I believe in God, yeah. He made the heavens and the earth, but Jesus, don't really have time for him. I don't have time for organized religion. It's just me and God. I don't have time for church or this gospel that you're saying. No, God and I are all together. We're sweet. We're good friends because I know him, even though I don't know Jesus." Well, let me tell you what that is. In a word, hooey. Remember Jimmy Stewart? You know, did that word ever get past 1930 or 40? That's hooey. You know, remember him? At any rate, that's what it is. Because Jesus says in John chapter 8, he says, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It's my Father who glorifies me, whom you say that he's your God, but you've not known him. I know him. If I said I do not know him, I should be a liar like you, but I do know him and I keep his word. In other words, a lot of people say they believe in God, but if you don't know Jesus, you don't know the Father. Remember that song, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage? Bet your bottom dollar you can't have one without the other. Well, it's the same with the Father and the Son. Bet your bottom dollar. You can't have the Father without the Son. You can't have the Son without the Father. If you have the Son, then you have the Father also. And so when we confess, I believe in God the Father the Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, that means you're blessed by God, you're chosen by Him to be able to be to have this truth revealed to you. And when you do have this truth revealed to you, the whole world is open up to you. You look at nature, and all of a sudden, you see, obviously God made the heavens and the earth. Are you crazy? You think this all happened by chance? I'd rather believe Mabombo, you know, vomited out the earth than to believe everything happened by chance. As we said some time ago, if you look at a human DNA and that makes up your body, chemical sequencing, it's all raveled up in coils inside you. A non-Christian website, the physics facts book, says if you uncoiled all the human DNA inside one human body and stretched it out, it would be able, and they figured this out mathematically, it would be long enough to go all the way from the Earth to the Sun and back again 66.8 times. Round trip. With chemical sequencing all telling your body how it's supposed to behave, how to create an eye, an ear, function, heart, liver, everything else. Who teaches the swallows and the birds to fly way out over the Atlantic, thousands of miles, and then take a turn at the trade currents to get down to South America on their yearly migration? God says in Isaiah, lift up your eyes on high. Who created these? He brings out their host by number, the stars, calling them by name. By the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Do you see how the whole world is open up to you? Remember that preacher from days ago, this is my Father's world. To my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas. His hand the wonders wrought. Yes, you are blessed, you are chosen, and then Jesus also does this for you. He adopts you as God's own children. Because Jesus says of those who say they believe in God but don't believe in Jesus that they are yet children of the devil because they desire to do what their father desires, lie and murder. But you who have been chosen and called to God have become his children through your baptisms, through faith. And you can really call God your father. And what does Jesus reveal to you about the Father? His character. In John chapter 14, Philip says to Jesus, show us the Father, and we shall be satisfied. Jesus says to him, have I been with you so long, Philip, and yet you do not know me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? What is the Father's character like? You know God. Well, the other night we had some thunderstorms. I laid on the floor, as I sometimes do before I get into bed. I kind of lay prostrate down on the terrazzo floor, kind of cold, but thunderstorms out, and I was praying, and our little dog Blossom got scared at the thunder and the lightning, and just a little Shih Tzu, and she climbs over, and never seen her do this other time, but she comes over, I'm praying like this, and she crawls and nudges herself under my arms and climbs under the shelter of my presence because she instinctively knew, here's the man, here's the father, here's the protector and the guardian. And this is the fatherly image Jesus has revealed to you about God the Father, that he is a one of compassion. He says to the woman who was caught in adultery, neither do I condemn you. Go and do not sin again. Jesus shows the justice of the Father. I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. He shows the faithfulness of the Father. While I was with them, I kept them in thy name, which thou hast given me. I have guarded them, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition. His provision. Jesus says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? He shows his riches and power in speaking to the sea and commanding it. And the people said, Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? His joy and mercy of the prodigal son. And the father says, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring in his hand and shoes on his feet, and the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And I want to tell you today, as a concluding word, that your father so loves you that he gave his only begotten son to die for you on the cross, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And if we are made then sons, he has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So through God, Paul says, you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir. I believe in God the Father, the Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. And this is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus, who died, shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one. Amen.